to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. Second hour now upon us. Welcome back to the Political Cesspool radio program. I'm James Edwards, your host, coming to you live tonight, as always, on AM 1380 WLRN Radio in Memphis, Tennessee, our flagship station, part of the Liberty News Radio Network, where we also go out to their AM/FM radio affiliates across the country. Simulcasting online as well at thepoliticalcesspool.org, our official internet headquarters where our broadcast archives are available to you on demand at the conclusion of each program. We have a lot of fun doing this show. I don't know if you've noticed that or not. We've been doing it for 6 years, so we'd better be enjoying it. Keith Alexander tonight, sharp as a tack, as always. Want to thank him and truly and sincerely thank Keith for all the talent he provides and brings to the table on this weekly broadcast. And not just Keith, but of course, the rest of the hosting staff, Bill Rowland, Winston Smith, and Eddie Miller as well. I really love those guys, and it's an honor and privilege to be able to work with them to bring you the Political Cesspool every week. We have a lot of fun on the show. We have a lot of fun on the blog, too. We've been having a lot more fun this summer. We've had so much media attention afforded to the radio program over the last few months. Just so many people now visiting our website every day. We upgraded a few features on the website not long ago, and we got the blog comment features now working again. And just really enjoying reading the thoughts and opinions of some of those of you in our listening audience. If you want to go to the website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, find your favorite blog entry, scroll down to the bottom, and add your opinions and commentary. I had a fun blog on Labor Day weekend. I really enjoyed doing it, of course. It took a point of personal privilege, I guess. Did a light-hearted post in which I shared with my fans that which can be found inside my CD player, and was sharing with everyone that I just love that 1950s and 60s doo-wop pop, early rock and roll music. I can't get enough of those vocal harmonies and the superb writing of the songs of that era. Listed some of my favorite groups and singers, of course, Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, number one, the Beach Boys, the Everly Brothers, Bobby Darin, Dion, the Grassroots, Herman's Hermits, Davy Jones, Gary Puckett, Neil Sedaka, Johnny Rivers, all those guys. I mean, the best music of all time. I put it on there, and we just got a ton of replies. You know, everybody just chiming in on who their favorite acts were. And I enjoy being able to have a relationship with those of you in our listening audience. Of course, the issues that we deal with here on this program are so serious and so important. And so it's fun to occasionally be able to do something a little more lighthearted. And we had the opportunity to do that over Labor Day weekend. Used to have a lot of those guys on the show that I just mentioned. We would interview these guys. One of the luxuries that I've been afforded as host of this program, I've been able to meet and interview a lot of these guys. And I don't have them on the show anymore because I wouldn't want to wish that upon them now that we've become so well known. They're just going to catch hell for coming on a conservative talk show. So I kind of leave the show to politics now, and which is fine because this is a political talk show. I guess we're lucky in that regard. But anyway, moral of the story is go to the website, check the blog, add your comments. You'll be glad you did. One of the stories that's prominently featured right now on the blog is a story I came across on Yahoo News, and of course I added my opinions and analysis to it. I knew that America has become increasingly silly, but I didn't know it was illegal to ask any important questions during a job interview. So if you own your own business, you need to go to my website and read this entry, and you better know the laws carefully. America, our government, in their infinite wisdom, or lack thereof, has made it illegal to ask your job applicants any important questions. Now, is this country increasingly becoming a joke, or what? The story reads this from Yahoo News. The rough economy has made many people desperate for a job, but in their eagerness for gainful employment, many people overlook improper interview questions. Depending on how they're asked, questions about personal topics such as marital status, race, and health are more than just poor manners. They're illegal under federal law. These type of questions can be used to discriminate against applicants, and it's your right not to answer them. Here are 8 questions your employer cannot ask you. And I'm going to get to those 8 questions, but first let me just add this. It says that it talks about improper interview questions that are illegal for people to ask, because these questions could just maybe possibly be used to discriminate against someone. So apparently Yahoo News and the American government in passing all of these laws are opposed to any form of discrimination. They're opposed to questions that one could use to discriminate against. But they're not at all concerned with affirmative action and quotas and set-asides. No, not only are they not opposed to affirmative actions, they pass laws making it illegal not to practice affirmative action. And what is affirmative action if not just outright racial discrimination against whites? So listen to these questions that are improper to ask. This is crazy, okay? Here are the questions. How old are you? Are you married? Are you a U.S. citizen? Do you have any disabilities? Do you take drugs? What religion do you practice? What is your race? As if you couldn't tell by looking at someone. And are you pregnant? Those are the 8 questions. All right, so they think that it is improper, not just improper, but illegal for you to ask someone. Let's focus on question number 3, for instance. Are you a U.S. citizen? Are you a U.S. citizen? That's improper, illegal even. Do you take drugs? Not only improper, but again, illegal. The story concludes by saying it is important to know your rights as an employee. Unlawful questions are not acceptable on applications during the interview process or in the workplace. It says these could be intentional cases of discrimination that should be reported. But yet we have affirmative action, which means you have to hire, a certain number of blacks or other minorities to fill a certain quota that the federal government mandates, regardless as to whether or not they are more qualified for the job or not. I'm all for, listen, I don't want anyone to be discriminated against. Best person for the job, most qualified applicant should get the job. But affirmative action and quotas are nothing but race-based preferences, and they only victimize white people. And now they could take it a step further and say you can't ask someone if they take drugs. You can't ask someone if they're a U.S. citizen. Now, in any normal society, folks, all of these questions would seem to be very important. Should employers not be allowed to inquire whether or not their candidates are illegal alien drug addicts? Like I said, America's turning into a bad joke, and we've got to do something to stop it. Common sense goes a long way, and you get common sense here on The Cesspool. We'll be back right after this.
Don't go away. There's more Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
Welcome back. To get on the Political Cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, friends, what have we learned so far this hour in the Political Cesspool? We've learned that it is illegal for employers to ask any important questions whatsoever of their potential job candidates. You can't ask any important questions. But by God, you had better discriminate against white people and practice affirmative action, quotas, and set-asides. That's all the law. The law says you got to discriminate against whites. You can't ask important questions of non-whites. And there you go. Now, what are we going to learn this segment? We're going to learn that the Gadsden flag is the new Confederate flag. I think we may have mentioned this story in passing last week, but I thought about it a little bit more And I really wanted to add a little bit more commentary to this story. And I want to speak to you now from my heart, as I always do on this show, but particularly now because we're talking about something very, very dear to me. As a Southerner, there is no more glorious symbol to me than what is today called the Confederate battle flag. That was the flag under which my relatives so proudly fought. The sacrifices of blood and bone that they made for our country motivate me to honor them by doing my small part as host of this radio program to live up to the giant shadow that they cast. As Robert E. Lee once said, "Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more, but you should never do less." Now, the false gods of cultural Marxism have, of course, deemed General Lee to be a racist, and they have marked the Honorable Cross of St. Andrews to be a racist symbol. And, of course, as listeners of this radio program are sure to know, the Confederate States of America modeled their flag after the St. Andrew's Cross as a tribute to the South's Scottish and, of course, Christian heritage. It now appears as though the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, has also been deemed to be politically incorrect. This story comes out of Arizona. Where else? Arizona's making all the news this summer. And unfortunately, all the bad news, because they passed that great law, SB 1070, gets overruled by one radical left-wing judge. Paul Bebeau makes a complete fool of himself, the sheriff over there, with the way he handled the media scrutiny that resulted from his appearance on this radio program. And now, also out of Arizona, the Don't Tread on Me flag, the Gadsden flag, under attack. Here's the story. An Arizona man is in trouble with his homeowners association over flying the Gadsden flag, which features a coiled rattlesnake and the words, "Don't Tread on Me." The flag has been adopted by members of the Tea Party movement, which, of course, we know is a racist movement, because it's a white movement, despite the fact that they have done everything they can to render themselves impotent as a result of all their groveling. But I digress. Back to the story. The flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, has been adopted by members of the Tea Party movement for its association with the American Revolution. But Andy McDonald tells the New York Times that he has hung the flag from his roof simply for its historical significance. Fair enough. It is, in fact, a flag that's certainly symbolic of the founding of our country. So why shouldn't an American citizen proudly be able to fly the Gadsden flag from his property? Well, Arizona has a state statute that allows Arizonans to fly, and I quote, "the stars and stripes, the state flag, flags representing Indian nations, as well as the official flags of the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, and Coast Guard," the New York Times reports. McDonald's Homeowners Association is strictly interpreting that law to ban the flying of any other flags, including the Gadsden flag. So, in Arizona, you can fly flags representing American Indians, but don't you dare fly a flag that might elicit some sort of a patriotic or response. I mean, anyway, McDonald isn't the only person to run into a dispute over the historic flag. Eric Smith of Thornton, Colorado, said he and his neighbor were sent a letter by their homeowners association that said, "Tea Party flags are not permitted. Please remove." They were threatened with a $100 a month fine for flying the Gadsden flag. Meanwhile, a group of retired Marines in Connecticut is fighting for the flag to be flown over the state capitol after the Capitol Police denied their request because the flag is not the official flag of the United States Marine Corps. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. So you got three different instances there in which the Gadsden flag, the Don't Tread on Me flag, is under attack. Let me make one thing perfectly clear. I don't believe America to be a creedal nation. We're a racial nation, just like every other. Now, the only creeds that are unique to America, the creeds that can be found in documents such as the Bill of Rights, such as the Constitution, those creeds are only special to us because they stem from the thoughts that can only be found amongst the people of the West, Western civilization. The kind of ideas that are advanced and guaranteed to our citizens in the Bill of Rights and the Constitution, those are creeds unique only to those of European descent. You will not find any document like the Bill of Rights or the American Constitution in Somalia or Venezuela or Israel, okay? This is a racial nation. And our people, the people that founded this nation, the people of European stock, of Western civilization, the creeds that are synonymous with being Americans are creeds that could have only been advanced by those people, have only been advanced by those people throughout recorded history. So we are a racial nation. Unlike most others, however, we just happen to be a nation founded by European stock who love the values and ideals that are unique to the West, as I just mentioned. Now, most minorities, and by most I mean 99%, the same number that voted for Obama last time, they were never going to consider Stonewall Jackson or Davy Crockett to be among their heroes. Our history and our heritage will never mean as much to them as their history and their heritage. And that's only natural. Where I draw the line is when the advocates of cultural Marxism actively seek to destroy and replace the symbols of our ancestors in our country. Symbols such as the Confederate flag and the Gadsden flag. These were the very same ancestors, incidentally, who carved this nation from a wilderness and were kind enough, perhaps foolish enough, to open the floodgates eventually to the Vandals and Visigoths of multiculturalism. You can't have a first world country with a third world population. It's just that simple. I don't want to be forced to trade down, and I don't want America to become nothing more than a dumping ground for the third world. America's rapid decline in recent decades is indisputable, but it's still more to me than a flophouse. We can continue to let the eradication of our history, heritage, and heroes go unchallenged, or we can fight to stop it. The choice is yours, because they won't stop. The cultural Marxists will not stop until every symbol of Western civilization, every symbol that made America such a special place, has been obliterated from the face of the planet, and the political cesspool is here to help you stop it. Stand with us. We'll be right back.
Don't go away. The political cesspool guys will be back right after these messages. To get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program. During that last segment, I was talking about how the Gadsden flag has now been identified, the Don't Tread on Me flag, now identified as the latest symbol of the West that's on the docket for eradication by the proponents of cultural Marxism. They're getting some great emails tonight from longtime political cesspool listener John out in California, and he is asking me, don't forget to mention the Declaration of Independence, along with those great founding documents of America, the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, Declaration of Independence. You know, and that was part of my commentary, is that the liberals, the drooling liberal nitwits, always claim that America is a creedal nation. America is a nation that is built upon ideas. And I, of course, oppose that. There are certainly some ideas that have been invaluable in the direction of America, the direction that America used to be on, you know, used to be taking. But those ideas can only be found in the hearts and minds and souls of those of Western civilization. You will not find those ideals in any of these other third world countries. That is why America is so unique. It's because of the stock of our people and the ideas that these people bring, that our people bring. I don't mind if other people around the world, other nations, other races, choose to live differently and adhere to different doctrines and have different types of governments, but you will not come into my country and demand that we must live, that your way of doing business and your way of running a nation is equal to ours. If you open your eyes and look around, you will see that the European nations, the first world nations, are second to none, and nothing is as good or as pure as ours. And, of course, I'll be called a racist for saying that. That's nothing new, but it's still a fact. And facts are stubborn things, as Ronald Reagan once said. Now, getting back to the blog and getting back to this article about the Gadsden flag being the new Confederate flag, I told you earlier this hour that we were just getting so many great comments from the listening audience of the Political Cesspool on our website now, as they are chiming in and offering their opinions on my blog articles. The one on Glenn Beck a couple of weeks ago, I think, got something like 75 comments, 75 replies. We're getting thousands and thousands and thousands of readers to the blog every day now. The Political Cesspool is certainly growing. One of the comments that can be found at the bottom of this Gadsden flag commentary is this. It comes from a listener named Joe, and he writes, "This country's toast. It's simply a matter of time until the conversion to third worldism is complete. I get sick to my stomach trying to explain to people, especially those who claim to be conservative, what is happening right before their very eyes. Any comment made in any way that does not proclaim the greatness, nay, the superiority of the black race is followed by the predictable cries of racist. I've been shouted down on mainstream conservative websites that claim to be hardcore by saying nothing more than I choose to not have anything to do with minorities, that I don't have to. Simply exercising my right to assemble with whom I want is a hate crime to my fellow conservatives. I don't say things like send them back to Africa or anything like that. I don't say that blacks are inferior to whites, although I do say that they certainly behave in an inferior way. When I'm in the company of a black person, I'm as polite to them as I am with anyone. Sorry, they say, not good enough. Keep up the great work." Now, that's just one of a litany of comments that you can find at the bottom of each of my articles at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And I really enjoy having that feature available because it certainly connects me with the listeners of my radio program and the readers of my blog. And together, we are forming a community and a network that is obviously, at least in the opinion of the press and the media, of not just America but around the world, we're building something here. They can't get enough of the political cesspool, or they can't get enough attacking us, I guess. But they're certainly giving us a lot of attention, never more so than we've received this summer. And that, of course, is a result of the support that we receive from each and every one of you in my listening in my audience. I recently wrote an article that addressed the obscene amount of publicity that our radio show has generated this summer. It's been without question the most successful year to date for the Political Cesspool. And to see that logical progression and forward momentum each year is what everyone hopes to enjoy. Thanks to the support of those in the audience, we've been able to accomplish more than most, and we fully expect that trend to continue. And that goes back to what the blog commenter Joe wrote in his last reply to my article there. You know, you got all of these wannabe conservative websites, these hardcore websites that say, we got to have $30,000 this month in order to keep it going. And what are they doing? You know, anybody with real paleoconservative tendencies like we have, or traditional conservative tendencies like we have, they go on there, like Joe has tried to do, and make a comment, they shout him down. If he you know, espouses traditional conservative viewpoints like you hear here on this radio program, he's going to get shouted down. And these are the, you know, so-called conservative leaders that need $30,000 a month to keep the doors open, you know, so they can go out there and spread Trotskyite, you know, doctrine to everyone out there. You know, that's not it. That doesn't cut it for me. That's why the political cesspool is second to none. That's why you listen to this radio show. But I tell you, we gotta have your support, ladies and gentlemen. You would think that just because we've received so much attention over the last few years, and of course this summer, that the increase in audience would mean that we're just rolling in the money. But that's not always the case. In fact, it's not the case. We need your support now as much as ever before in order to keep things going, you know. So I encourage you, if you appreciate this radio program, if this radio program benefits you in any way, support us. We're a team. We're a team. And I encourage you to go to our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org. We're doing a special promotion this month as part of our quarterly fundraising drives and a couple of great incentives. For people who donate, more information can be found at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But if you haven't donated to the show recently and you listen to us every week, I encourage you to do just that. You can do it safely and securely at thepoliticalcesspool.org. But getting back to that media attention that we've been generating so much of this year, despite being founded in the autumn of 2004, it wasn't until 2006 and 2007 that the Political Cesspool radio program really began to carve out a reputation. It was during that year, 06, 07, which was now 3 and 4 years ago, respectively, that we started to experience a lot of firsts, such as being regularly attacked by the most well-known leftist hate groups, attracting marquee guests, such as Pat Buchanan, and receiving the national media exposure that we've come to be accustomed to now. Now, that being said, I still receive, and you would be surprised to know how many emails and letters I still receive from new fans of this show who are catching some of my original appearances on CNN for the first time. With that in mind, I actually went back and revisited the good old days on my blog for all the new members of my audience who have come to know our work just recently. Posted to thepoliticalcesspool.org tonight, you will find a blog entry entitled, "You'll Always Remember Your First Time." And no, I'm not talking about anything lewd there. I'm talking about my first appearances on CNN. In fact, the first three of them, I have put up the YouTube footage of those appearances on my blog tonight for everyone to watch if they so choose. There you'll find an hour-long CNN presentation on segregation in which I appeared as part of a four-member panel. It was me and three other black people. That's how they do it there in their panels, talking about racial issues. Got a video up there of an appearance on CNN during which I discuss immigration, and finally an appearance in which I discussed the black-on-white murders of a young couple from Knoxville, Tennessee. It's all there at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Lots changed for me in the radio program since those days, of course. Today, the Political Cesspool is widely known as a world-class broadcast, for better or for worse, depending on your political persuasion. And that continues to receive interview requests from major newspapers, television, and radio stations all over the world. We accept some of those requests, but we deny most of them. We have our own voice now, and our voice is bigger than most, as I said before. Of course, all of that is thanks to you. But we'll need your continued support in order to sustain all of that we've built together. So I ask you again, ladies and gentlemen, in closing this segment, to please consider contributing to the Political Cesspool's fall fundraising drive today. This offer expires on September 30th, I believe. So go and contribute and get a couple of great gifts as your reward. We'll be back right after this with some great guests. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We'll return. We'll return. We'll return. We'll return.
Jump in the Political Cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the Political Cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, welcome back, everybody. What a great show it's been so far tonight, but we're just now past the halfway point, and before the sand runs from the hourglass this evening, you're going to hear from no less than three outstanding guests. Coming up in our third and final hour, just a few minutes from now, I'm going to get things kicked off with Paul Fromm, the noted Canadian defender of free speech, the attorney, great spokesman for our cause. He is running for mayor of his Canadian town. We're going to get all the scoop from his campaign. And then I got a very special guest who shall remain nameless for the time being. You got to stay tuned to find out who it is. I think you'll like it, though. But first, a good friend of mine now on the line, David Hill. He is a Council of Conservative Citizens field coordinator. He helps provide leadership to the Great Southern chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens down in Jackson, Mississippi, about 3 hours south from where I sit tonight in Memphis, Tennessee. David, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me, James.
Hey, I got to tell everyone, the pleasure is all mine, and you're more than welcome. David Hill. If everyone had the kind of leadership abilities that David Hill possesses, we'd be able to take this country back in about 3 weeks, because I went down. I had the honor of being the featured speaker at the last Great Southern CFCC chapter meeting in Jackson a couple of months ago, and David Hill packed that hotel ballroom full of attendees. And I don't know if you've ever tried to put on a conservative meeting before, but you'll know that's not the easiest thing to do. But he did it, had a great spread, great people, and he's going to be doing it again on Thursday, September 23rd. Now, I'm not going to be there this time. He actually got a good speaker to come. And David, why don't you tell him all about that?
Oh, great. I appreciate you having me on tonight, and I thank you for the job that you're doing up there in Memphis and getting the word spread.
You're welcome.
James. We'll be having Lewis March, who was formerly an aide to U.S. Senator Jesse Helms. He's a background as an attorney in acquisitions for the private sector. And he's also a public speaker and former radio talk show himself, so I guess therein lies a commonality between you and him. He's author of several books, author of Immigration, The End of Self-Government, and Harvest of Lies. We're going to be meeting at the Regency Hotel in Jackson, Mississippi, as you said, on September 23rd. The doors will open at 6 o'clock for fellowship and refreshments, and we want everyone to come to bring a guest, because you get to come in and get to eat free, and we have a great speaker, as in Lewis March. Heard him speak before, and he actually tells it like it is, kind of like you do.
Well, I got to tell you something. Lewis March is one of the greatest public speakers I have ever seen. And that is no exaggeration. That's not hyperbole. Lewis March is incredible. So if you are anywhere near Jackson, Mississippi, or within driving distance to Jackson, Mississippi, on the night of September 23rd, as David Hill just mentioned, that's a Thursday night, going to kick off at 7 o'clock. And when he says he's got some food, he ain't kidding. I went down there again. You know, I was the speaker at the last meeting they had a couple of months ago, when David puts on the spread. The last time we had chicken, meatballs, I mean, just a full buffet line. And it's all free, all at the expense of David Hill and the CFCC. He does all this at his own expense because he wants you to come in and enjoy the kind of fellowship that can only be found at these types of meetings. I mean, and I tell you, it's really a familial bond that you get when you go to something like this. When I was there, it was just a room full of people who all shared the same conservative ideas, and you had this exchange of information, solutions presented themselves, activism blossomed. It's just a great atmosphere to put yourself into. I had the opportunity to talk about my book and did a little book signing there, and the people are just as friendly as they can be, so gracious. It's the kind of people you really want to meet and work with. So, again, David Hill on the program right now to kind of plug this just a little bit. Lewis March going to be on, former aide to U.S. Senator Jesse Helms, great speaker. You don't want to miss Lewis March as he marches into Mississippi. That's what my email says. And
that's
he's
right.
going to be speaking to the Great Southern Chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens. Again, that's Thursday, September 23rd, Jackson, Mississippi. 6 o'clock is when the Eaton starts. It's at the Regency Hotel in Jackson, just across the street from the Mississippi Coliseum. David, what else can you add to that?
Well, the address of the street is 400 Graymont Avenue, if somebody wants to plug it into their GPS and come. But I encourage everyone that can make it. It's time, it's been past time for us to solidify our support and take back over politically from the liberals and their agenda from the Obama, Pelosi, Reid, Joe Biden type of politics that and I would go as far as to say a socialism that they're trying to push on us, and I think any conservative minded person would get a lot from this speech and how to go about and regaining control come November.
Well, again, ladies and gentlemen, spread the word about this. I know actually when I was there last time, David, as you'll remember, people as far away as New Orleans or somewhere in Louisiana it was, drove up to be a part of this meeting, and you'll understand that that drive is worth it. If you live near Jackson, you won't have to go that far. But even people listening tonight in Memphis, it would be worth it if you have the time to drive down to Jackson. Again, that's a week from Thursday. September 23rd is the date, 6 o'clock, Regency Hotel, Lewis March. I will be speaking to the Great Southern Chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens. And I tell you what, you know, all the focus is going on Lewis March right now. We got a great leader on the phone right now in David Hill. And David, I want to thank you for all the work
you
do on behalf of our people in putting these great meetings together and getting such a tremendous turnout. You know, the domino effect that could stem from these type of meetings, we will never know. But we know it's doing a lot of good.
Oh, yeah. You talk to people and all the time, and they share the same values as we do, but they don't want to get involved. Well, I think now is the time to get involved to try to turn the tide of this extreme liberalism that we have.
Well, the time has probably already passed, but it's never too late to start. At least I hope it's not too late. I don't believe it's too late because we're certainly here fighting like junkyard dogs to do the best that we can. And
right.
Working with people like you, David, make it infinitely easier. And I want to thank you publicly for all the support you've given our work here on this radio program and for all the great work and activism you're doing on behalf of the Council of Conservative Citizens. A great organization, folks. If you haven't joined the Council of Conservative Citizens, you need to do it ASAP. And no better time to do it than Thursday, September 23rd, right there at the Regency Hotel in Jackson, Mississippi, 6 o'clock. Right across the street from the Mississippi Coliseum, you can join the council there, get a free meal, enjoy great fellowship with like-minded patriots, and listen to the great Lewis March speak. He spoke at the National Council of Conservative Citizens meeting in Nashville last June. Of course, we did a live broadcast from the location. He blew me away. I've heard a lot of speeches, and I've given a lot of speeches, but I remembered Lewis March's, and you will too. So, David Hill, thanks so much for coming on the show tonight and promoting the meeting. Hopefully, we've stoked the flames a little bit, and we'll be able to drive some people through the door.
Well, thank you very much, and continue the good work that you're doing, James.
Hey, don't worry about that, my friend. We're certainly going to do that. And again, because of people like you, we're able to do it. And I want to thank you again. So let me know how the meeting goes.
I've read your book three times, and I still find it fascinating. So if anyone out there hasn't purchased his book, I would suggest they do. It enlightens a lot of issues. I just want to give you a plug too there, James.
Hey, that's what this movement's all about, David. One hand washes the other. And I really believe that though, and not in jest.
Right.
You know, we really should support one another. The people that are out there fighting for this cause need to help one another. It's a reciprocal relationship we ought to have. Cross-pollination. David Hill, thank you so much. I know you're going to have a great meeting down there on the 23rd.
Thank you very much. Now, you have a great evening.
You too, David. But before you go, one last question. I probably should ask this. Let's say somebody's listening tonight. They want to make the meeting. Who can they email for more information?
They can email me, DavidHill115@AOL.com.
DavidHill115@AOL.com if you want more information about that meeting in Jackson, Mississippi on the 23rd of September. David Hill, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time. Ladies
All
and gentlemen,
right, thanks a lot.
David Hill of the Great Southern Chapter of the Council of Conservative Citizens. About to take a break, but in our third and final hour tonight, you're going to hear from Paul Fromm, a good friend of mine, great friend of mine. He's running for mayor. You're going to hear what his campaign's all about. And then a very surprise guest coming up after Paul that you just might have heard of before. We'll find out all that and more during the third hour of tonight's live installment of the Political Cesspool Radio Program. I'm James Edwards, and I'll be back right after these words.
Believe it or not, there's a third hour of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool coming your way right after these messages.
They call the ride.